Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Alfred Adisk to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, October 17th, 2013. Once again, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We have General Salenti will be joining us at the second part of the break today, so make sure you stay tuned. We appreciate him joining us. He was able to rearrange his schedule for us, and we'll have him back, and he'll be able to spend the whole hour with us. But in the meantime, once again, thank you for joining us, and let's go ahead and get to the market reports today. We have things we want to talk about during the first segment today. Gold today opened up strong, stayed there all day today, $3,760 at $1,321. Silver up 41 cents today at $21.93. We have platinum up 40 bucks today at $1,443, and palladium was up $23 at $744. And with the news and all the agreements last night and all the pork barrel that went into the coming out of Washington last night, you have the USDX today trading down 0.80 at 79.66. Crude oil today was down almost $2, and it's holding the $100 level. And the paper markets today, the Dow was down much bigger earlier in trade, and the S&P ended at a record high, although they had a hard time keeping it there today. But it was only up 11 points to meet the record high at 1,732. And, of course, the NASDAQ was up 23 points today at 38.63, but the Dow basically unchanged, down a little 4 points at 15,369. And not too much action on the 10-year yield. That's did break the 60, 2.59. on the 10-year yield. And, of course, investors are reacting to the debt and budget deal, and the world is reacting. Alfred is reacting. How are you reacting, Alfred?
What? They had a budget deal?
They had a deal?
Huh?
Really?
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 Somebody should do a report on that or something. I don't know. That sounds like it would almost be news. And they did it right at the last minute?
Really?
Golly. Who would have thought?
Shazam.
Well, boy, oh boy. I'll tell you the one thing that impresses me is the dollar's down 0.81 today on the U.S. dollar index. That's a nice drop. All right? I don't know that it's the biggest I've seen, but it's It's a pretty decent sized drop. I think we may have seen a 0.9 in the past, but I don't recall clearly. Still, it's a good drop. And I think what it indicates is this. There'll be a bunch of speculation of what it indicates. I don't know what it indicates, if it indicates anything at all. Maybe just the monkey who's running the computer hit the wrong button. Hard to say. But I think what it indicates is that especially foreigners are losing faith in the U.S. dollar's stability. It's becoming increasingly apparent that they can't count on it. It's becoming increasingly apparent that we have financial problems in this country that are too great to be easily resolved. And I think what we're seeing here is perhaps a reaction to the fact that we don't really have a solution to the debt ceiling crisis that existed up until yesterday. All we have is pretty much a postponement. But the same problems are basically there. Nothing's been changed other than the deadline. You know, it's like drawing that line in the sand. And if you cross this line, we're going to go to war. And if they do, well, okay. Now this line, if you cross this line, we're going to go to, okay, they cross that one. You just keep on backing up and drawing new lines in the sand. And that's somewhat true about what the government's done relative to the debt ceiling in the last couple of days. If insofar as that's true, it can't inspire much confidence in foreign countries. It can't inspire much confidence here in the people in the United States. Whatever the problem was up until yesterday is still the problem, although it's been postponed a few months before we have to deal with it again. Now, there have been some other variations because it's my understanding that they've made changes where from now on, part of the deal is that the Congress would no longer be able to use the debt ceiling as a negotiating device to try to get concessions out of the White House or other political parties or whatever. From now on, the debt ceiling can be waived anytime Obama wants to waive it, and he can do it unilaterally. So my guess is he's likely to sprain his wrist before he gets out of office, because he's going to be waiving that debt ceiling a lot. It will now be up to Congress, if the president waives an existing debt ceiling, it'll be up to Congress to come in and vote to veto and say, no, you can't raise the debt ceiling. And of course, if they do that, then the president can veto their legislation. And then the Congress is going to have to come back with 2/3 willing to override the president's determination to waive the debt ceiling. So as a practical matter, we have probably seen the last debt ceiling debate that we're really going to see in this country. If it's true that Obama can now, or whatever, whoever else is sitting in president, he can simply waive the debt ceiling whenever he wants, there won't be any more debates on it. That'll be one truth. But it also means that the debt ceiling is going to go up, up and up. That's the implication on all of this. Congress won't be able to stop a president who is determined to waive the debt ceiling, and Congress almost certainly won't try. So we've seen. Now, you can all get the T-shirt. Melody, should we print a discount gold and silver T-shirt? I survived the debt crisis, or I was there. You know, it's kind of like New Year's for year 2000. One of those events you want to remember because it'll never happen again. Kind of like the comet, Halley's Comet. I saw Halley's Comet. Ta-da. Nobody's going to see it again for another 80 years, 90 years, whatever it is. What else? In any case, the government has not inspired confidence, is at least the easy interpretation for what we see in the U.S. dollar index. They have instead inspired a great deal of doubt about our financial stability, and it shows up in the U.S. dollar index. Doesn't mean that tomorrow we won't see a reversal. Hard to say what we're going to see. We don't know. But that's one interpretation that we could use today. I'll say one other thing also about the gold market. If you look at the chart at Kitco, they point out that gold started out about 1280 today, and it fell off a little bit and then came back up to 1280 by, I don't know, a couple hours into it. But then we had it went vertical from about 1280 to about 1311, right? It went up $31, and it was virtually straight up in a very short period of time. Now, the reason that strikes me as interesting is if you follow these charts at all, and I don't follow them as a religion, but we do follow them, and we look at the chart and see where the gold going went up dramatically or went down dramatically. Over the past couple of years, what we are used to seeing is a significant... We see these waterfall events that are evidence that the price of gold is being manipulated. And all of a sudden, the price of gold just drops. Bang! And it falls like a stone, $20, $30, $40 down in no time at all. And it's been interpreted repeatedly as evidence of manipulation of the price of gold. But what we've seen a couple of times in the last few months, I've seen it at least twice, maybe three times, we've seen a waterfall event, except the price of gold didn't go down, and that's what we're used to seeing for the last couple of years. All of a sudden, the price of gold just shot up like a skyrocket, went vertical. In this case, $30 in just a matter of a few minutes of bang, bang, bang. So we're looking at something. I suspect we're looking at something different right now. I suspect that these vertical waterfalls, for lack of a better term, we could say skyrocket events. That would make better sense. These skyrocket events are beginning to balance off a little bit against the waterfall events going down. We've got the skyrocket events going up. We're beginning to see these skyrocket events. I'm beginning to pay attention to them. I think they're relatively recent. I can't guarantee that's true. But we'll watch and see if we're going to observe more skyrocket events in the price of gold in the foreseeable future. I expect we will. Doesn't mean we won't see any more waterfall events going down, but I think we're going to see more skyrocket events going up. So what else we got?
Excuse me, I just...
You're playing solitaire again, weren't you?
No, you took my breath away.
Here, I got one. Disbelief to relief. World greets the U.S. budget deal. Everyone take a break. Worldwide relief greets U.S. budget deal as default fears ease. London, the world's disbelief at the political impasse in the U.S. turned to relief Thursday as the country stepped back from the brink of default. But experts and foreign officials warned that Washington's credibility had been damaged, a point President Barack Obama echoed. This is just a headline from Yahoo News, from the Associated Press and quoted on Yahoo News. And it's simply evidence, we stopped the debt default right at the last minute and the rest, that sort of thing. But we really haven't done anything but postpone the problem. And the world is kind of wise to that. And they claim to be having relief, but they can't be having that much relief if the U.S. dollar index is down 0.81. That's not evidence of relief exactly. So, comment, Melody?
No. When you read everything that went on and who benefited and, how they take it to the end and, where all the closed-door private meetings can be held so they can all be bought and paid for while this all goes on and, they can walk out feeling good about themselves and there's a few who, voted no on the deal. They knew it was all going to pass, so I'll just say no. That way, I'll still please my group who will vote for me in the next election and so forth. But, listening to the speeches by coming out of the White House and so forth, it was just enough to turn your stomach. And these politicians are in there for personal and commercial gains for their local communities and I get that. I get somehow they want to bring things to their homes that I know Colorado desperately with the big tragedy that they had, but yet you have South Dakota who lost 75,000 cattle. They don't have a farm bill, so none of these ranchers will probably get any help. They've been devastated by the snowstorm and the flooding, the rains, the major rains that they had, and the world is just there isn't anything that makes sense. There's no logic. So we try to gleam onto something that makes sense, and people get hurt, people benefit. And I guess it is just the way of the world. It's not a world that
The way of the world is becoming, you're used to watching a business cycle. And it moves a sine. There's a sine wave on the graph. And the graph goes down, and then it goes up, and then it goes down, and it goes up. That's part of life. apparently been a natural part of life for a long time. But what we seem to be seeing is that the amplitude of the curve in the business cycle is perhaps growing larger, or any of the rest of the cycles you care to mention. We have our ups, we have our downs. But it feels as if the ups are higher and the downs are lower, and the changes are more dramatic. And that's part of the problem. It's not just, oh, we're going into another recession again, and that's part of the business cycle. No, we're maybe going into a depression. Right? It's for some people, particularly, it becomes increasingly severe. And that's part of what gets us talking to ourselves and wondering what's happening here. And one of the questions is, if the amplitude on these different cycles is increasing and becoming more dramatic, or at least appears to be, it feels like it is, are we really seeing more, a greater magnitude in the changes up and the greater magnitude in the changes down? Are they really seeing something, you know, the amplitude changing dramatically? Or is the feeling that we see greater amplitude, is that a function of the hype that we get out of Congress and the hype we get out of mainstream media, who is constantly reminding us that the sky, oh my gosh, is falling? So what's really happening, Melody? Do you think the amplitude is actually increasing in our cycles, or is it just the reporting that's increasing?
Maybe it's both.
Well, it might be. Yeah, it could be. It doesn't have to be necessarily one or the other. It could be both. That's true.
And so, I don't know. To me, it's all theatrics, and it's you know, we should be accustomed to this. This is how they do things. But it shouldn't take away the fact that you mentioned the dollar decline. I have seen it down much, a little bit more than I've seen it down a full point before, after 2008. And I think we'll see this continue throughout the year. It was good to see gold here above 1300 again, and it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out. But it's just it's just best to be out of their system. If you're out of their system,
as best you can. But the problem we all have is you can be on the outskirts of the system, but it's very difficult to get outside, get completely free from it, at least for the majority of people, if only because you might get completely free from the system. That's conceivable. But what about the guy who lives across the street, the guy who lives behind you and across, you know, next door? You are still living in a community that is, you know, deeply involved and, you know, intertwined with the existing system. And as long as that's true, you know, you can't be that far away from it either. Neither can I.
I think the financial system, the monetary system, is the most corrupt, and that's a system that I don't care to be in. I have to be in it to some degree because I run a business. Yeah. But personally, I choose not to. I don't have any paper, and I know it's difficult to live in a paper world and not be involved in paper. But yet people need to start making decisions, and they need to start positioning themselves. When things happen, it will happen very quickly. What we're seeing, what we're experiencing, I believe these are all the signs working up to that day of reckoning. When that day of reckoning happens, there will not. This is the advance notice, folks. This is it.
We're going to learn more about the advance notice in a few minutes. We're going to have Gerald Celente is our guest, and he should be here right after this break. Take a couple commercial announcements. We will begin talking to Mr. Celente, and we'll see if he has any predictions as to what and when things are going to happen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Gerald Salente is the publisher of the Trends Journal. His website is trendsjournal.com. Mr. Salente started forecasting in the 1980s and achieved fame for predicting the 1987 stock market crash, giving advanced warning of the 9/11 attack, and predicting the beginning of the gold bull market when gold was still about $200 an ounce. We're honored and pleased to have Mr. Salente as our guest today on Financial Survival. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Salente. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, Alan, Melody, for having me.
Well, we're glad to have, it's a great honor for us. Your business is trends. How do you determine trends? How do you know, you know, I know you consult several different indicators, several dozen probably financial indicators. I'm guessing that the choice of those indicators wouldn't be too surprising, but how do you balance and give weight to each indicator? If you're weighing 20 things, how do you decide which one is more important, or do you weigh them all equally?
That's it. There's a great quote from the scholar Friedrich von Schiller. In today already walks tomorrow. And that's all we do. We look at the current events shaping future trends. So whether it's, take the debt ceiling, and before that the government shutdown, and before that Syria, and before that the massacre at the Navy shipyard, and before that, you know, what's going on in Greece with the closing down of the Golden Dawn. And then we look at what's going on in Spain with the corruption trials going on, and on and on and on. And so what we do is we look at over 300 different trend categories. All we're interested in is in the facts and in the information. You know, and it's very hard, of course, to determine sometimes what's fact and what's not. But we go to all the sources. So, for example, my day includes reading the New York Times, the hard copy, the Financial Times, the hard copy, Wall Street Journal, the hard copy, and going online and looking at Bloomberg, CNBC, Al Jazeera, Al Haaretz, Fars News Agency, China Daily, a whole variety of different sources of information from all parts of the world to Russia today.
What do you gain from those newspapers? The obvious answer would be facts. But
information.
To what extent is it subjective where you get a feel for what's happening as much as facts about what's happening? Or do you rely on the subjective at all?
Of course. You know, it's like going to a doctor and getting a diagnosis. The doctor compiles the facts that are available, and sometimes the facts, you know, don't hold up, but, you know, the test showed that that was the fact. But then again, another test shows that it wasn't the fact. But you gather as much facts as you can. What differentiates us from most everyone else is we have no agenda. I'm a political atheist. It's like going to a doctor. You don't care whether it's liberal, conservative, right wing, left wing. All you want are the facts and how the facts are going to play out. And so that's what we do. So when we're looking at the information, that's why we get it from all the varied information sources, so we could balance them out against each other. Then we make the decision on, okay, we see the trend. So I'll give you an example. The news in the news. J.P. Morgan Chase is limiting to many customers how much money they could withdraw each month to $50,000. This is the 21st century. $50,000 is not what it used to be. You're a small business. That's not a lot of dough. But they're limiting it. What does that mean? Okay, we start putting the pieces together. I've been talking about this for years. A bank holiday. Does it sound any different to you than having a bank holiday in Cyprus and they're limiting how much money you could take out? Does it sound any different to you than, okay, if you have over the limit of insurance, you're going to get what they call in white shoe boy language a haircut? What haircut? We're going to steal your money. So we look at it like that. We break it down to its simplest element. And then we bring it to another level. And I've learned from two other experiences. If you don't have your money in your pocket or where you could put your hands on it, it's not your dough. I learned that on 9/11. When I was trying to take money out of CDs because I didn't know if they were going to hit the Indian Point nuclear power plant 45 miles north of New York City. I know the area well. I grew up around here. And if that happened, there would be chaos like no one's ever seen. So I try to cash out my CDs. I'm ready to head to Canada. You know, I figure I could catch a flight out of Canada to anywhere. And I'm only 4.5 hours away. I'm in Colonial Kingston. So what happens? I can't get my money out. Because CDs are certificates of deposit, and they're traded on Wall Street. Wall Street's closed. Lesson number two, John Corzine, the former head of Goldman Sachs, former governor of New Jersey and senator of New Jersey, and head of MF Global, stole my money. He went into segregated accounts and took money. And I had six figures. So I realized, regardless of what they tell you, unless you have your money on where you can grab it, it's not yours. Going back to the J.P. Morgan Chase story, current events form future trends. You go through all of the news over the last 2 weeks. Pick your choice, IMF, World Bank, Deutsche Bank, Chinese, you name it, Jamie Dimon, every Citigroup, name them. They were all fearful of what would happen if the United States defaulted on its debt. And if you read closely, all of them said they were making contingency plans. So it's a trend for it. Yes, you put all the information together, and you're a survivalist, Joe. If you don't have your gold, you don't have your silver, you don't have your dollars where you could get a hold of them, and you have a middleman there, guess what? You might as well whistle Dixie.
When we talk about trends, they come in pairs, I'm going to guess. We're going to have one trend that's moving up and another trend that's moving down, although there's a different balance. It may be that one trend is predominant at any given moment, and a counter trend is perhaps just beginning or perhaps waning. Do they usually run? Do you usually think of trends as running in pairs, or do you see trends as isolated?
You never know. It's wild cards. You know, you never. How about a Fukushima? You don't know.
Yeah.
You know, how about all of a sudden, like this J.P. Morgan Chase letter just comes out, hits the wires. You don't know. So you, again, you don't give anything a rating or judge it. You just keep letting it stay fluid, because no one knows what the future will bring. There are too many wild cards: a typhoon, a hurricane, you name it, a natural disaster, man-made disaster. You know, who knows? So what if there's a what if there's something that goes on with a geopolitical issue, and it kills, you know, a dirty bomb goes off somewhere in a major city? The whole game changes. I want to show you how the game changes, where it doesn't go in pairs, and you don't know what's going to happen. But another example of why you better be in control of what you have, because if you're not, someone else is, and it's not yours. Boston, the Boston Marathon. Look what happened.
I understand.
They closed down 100 square miles of Boston area to hunt for a 19-year-old kid. They went door-to-door without warrants. They called essentially martial law, shelter in place. Yeah, how's that for some BS language? And you had enough stormtroopers out in the streets that would have made Hitler heil. So you can see how the game could change. Everything closed down. Businesses lost tons of money. But more importantly, people lost their constitutional rights and Bill of Rights. So it's always, you prepare in our method of trend forecasting, and of course we call it the martial art of trend forecasting, having been a close combat practitioner for many years, you expect the unexpected. You prepare for anything. There's
how
no
quickly,
forms.
How often do you reevaluate your trends? Do you have some trends that sit there and they're still running 6 months and they have no significant change in 6 months, and others are changing perhaps on a daily or even hourly basis?
Sure. You take the debt crisis. That was an hourly basis.
Mm-hmm.
You take the Afghan war. It keeps going on, but we know where the trends are heading. So you have differences, and you have the tapering issue on the economics. You see where it is. Sometimes it accelerates. Sometimes it goes different levels. Again, there is no set standard to look at this. It's always, again, it's the martial art of trend forecasting, to expect the unexpected. You never know what's going to happen, what's going to come down. You could be a fifth-degree don, and all of a sudden some maniac walks up behind you and blows your brains out.
What you're doing is not simply predicting events, per se. When you deal with trends, you are connecting events in the same sense that we connect dots. And I'm going to assume that that's, rather than viewing events as isolated, you're tending to look at a bigger picture and connecting a dot and say that it's not isolated, that is in relationship to this other event, which was in relation to another event that was, you know, a month or 6 months or whenever earlier. Roughly, is that roughly correct?
That's roughly correct. All things are connected, like the blood which unites us all. Said Chief Seattle. And that's exactly it. It's all connected. When you're looking at drone strikes in Yemen, riots in Bahrain, a civil war in Libya, unrest in Tunisia, another civil war in Syria, and you keep adding, you have the problems that you have economic chaos in Greece and in Spain and in Portugal, a terrible situation in Italy. You keep putting all of the pieces together. And again, it's not, and then you go coming back to the United States. I mean, what adult, what rational thinking adult could look up to and respect the congressional clowns and senatorial arrogant lightweights. And presidents, go through the list. To me, you know, they say that, you know, this is all political theater. Yeah, I agree. And politics is show business for ugly people. How can people believe this garbage and have these people lead them? So on the survival mode is, you better lead yourself. You better think for yourself and get as many facts as you can. And based on those facts, you make the calls.
Some trends are undoubtedly stronger than others and longer lasting. Can you name three trends that we can bet the farm on right now? Is that possible?
Number one is that there's going to be another financial crisis, and it's going to happen when interest rates go up. You can't keep interest rates at this rate. It's impossible. They're going to have to stop tapering, and that's when you're going to have a worse collapse than 2008. That's number one. Number two, you could call it terrorism. You know, a guy from the Bronx, I call it payback. You can't keep attacking all these countries. When the new numbers came out just yesterday, 500,000 Iraqis have been killed since the United States and that coalition of the willing invaded a sovereign nation for a lie that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. I should say two lies. You think they hate us? How about they're doing to Afghanistan or Pakistan with the drones? So there's going to be something that's going to happen that's going to be far beyond a 9/11 magnitude occurrence. And when that happens, you're going to see martial law instituted in the United States. And to me, the Boston Marathon was the model for that. Again, they closed down 100 square miles of a major city, stopped rail transportation between New York and Boston to find a 19-year-old kid. So imagine if a dirty bomb goes off or biological warfare. And then thirdly, there's also the strong probability that if we the people rise to greater heights, we could also have a renaissance. So again, there are too many wild cards. The future, and the people don't know this, is in the hands of the people. And to relinquish that, as I see it, is to relinquish your dignity, your respect, and your courage, and your integrity. And rather than you charting the future, letting someone else do it for you, and here in the United States, of course, it's the D.C. drama queens and the Beltway Circle jerks. So it could go either way, but those are the sure things that I see. And the efforts that we're doing at the Trends Journal is for that renaissance and restoration. And so we see the other two ways they're taking us to financial and geopolitical disasters. But we want the other way. And we believe
we can have it. What do you think about the trend in gold? Is it up, down, sideways? Is the bull market over? Or are we just seeing a blip in it? Are we going back to the bull market? What's going to happen to gold?
Go back just last week when on a Friday, I believe it was 8:42 a.m., I believe it was, Eastern time, all of a sudden somebody sold 5,000 contracts on the COMEX at the market. Anybody that trades gold knows you never do that. And, of course, there's a lot of speculation that the market's rigged. Why should there be speculation? There should be a surety that it's been rigged. LIBOR rates have been rigged. Now they're looking at the Forex. That's been rigged. Everybody knows about insider trading. It's rigged. So it's not in the interest of the central banks at a time in history that's unprecedented, where they're devaluing their currencies by printing unlimited supplies of money, that they would want gold prices to go up. My first buy of gold was in 1978 at $187.50 an ounce. I also bought it at the peak of the trading day on July 20th 1980 when it hit 875 and crashed the next day. And so I know the emotion. This is a very different time. Back then there was, you know, 1980, it was the Soviet Union. Everything east of Berlin was locked behind the Iron Curtain. They weren't in the markets. Kazakhstan, nobody heard of the joint. They weren't buying gold like they are now. Same thing over in China. China, all the people knew about was Mao. And he'd been dead a couple of years. There was no Chinese market. There was no India market. You know, the Indians were still buying gold, you know, but not at the level they are now. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this because this is a very different situation. This is a global market. As long as the economies continue to pump cheap money into the system, I am bullish on gold. I'm bullish on gold for the long term. I keep buying gold. Matter of fact, I announced, you know, every night we do, from Monday through Friday, we do trends in the news. It's part of the Trends Journal TV subscription. And I made the announcement when I bought gold at 1306. And I was back in the market. So for me, gold is my golden years. I don't trade it, you know, trying to beat the markets. I buy it for the reason that why would I want to buy worthless paper money? Not worth the paper it's not printed on.
We've actually come to the point where we would normally take a break for some more commercials. We're going to pass on that, provided that you can stay a little longer, Mr. Salente. Is that
possible?
I
only have exactly four more minutes because I have another engagement coming up.
Well, we'll take the four more minutes and then we'll
okay.
If we can. I'm pleased to hear you talk about a renaissance as a third potential trend, because I was listening to Nancy Pelosi last week when she talked about the conflict between the debt ceiling and Obamacare as just a pretext for the real debate was about the extent of government. That was her term. And I began to realize right then that we are dealing with what I think of as a limited government movement right now in Congress. That's what we saw. I see the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street and Anonymous and WikiLeaks and the Second Amendment rights movement. I think they're all not connected in an obvious way, but the common denominator is they are fighting for limited government. Even the states are passing laws to resist the power of the federal government. I see this limited government movement as something powerful, and I've just made that observation in the last week or so. And does that seem to parallel your notion about a renaissance, or at least potential renaissance?
Yes and no. It's bigger than government. As you may know, I'm in Colonial Kingston, New York. I just bought the most historic corner in the United States. I bought three of the four buildings because I want to see a second American Revolution. It's the only corner in the U.S. where there's a stone building on each corner that predates the Revolution. And I bought them after coming back from Germany, from Berlin, and realizing that there are two-bit freaks everywhere and that this is my country and I'm staying here. I'm not leaving. You know, and I want to see a revolution, but not a violent one. One of, you know, the heart, the spirit, the mind, the, you know, intellect, emotional, and artistic, and that's why I bought the building. So, government is only to me the minor player in this. It's really about the individual. If you came to our offices and you see what we have over here, we try to surround ourselves with as much beauty as possible. There's fine art on all the walls, not this, you know, stuff that these guys buy, you know, from these, you know, contemporary artists that they spend ridiculous prices for that looks like a cartoon kid drew it, you know. And we have plants everywhere. We've made a beautiful, beautiful setting to live and work in. And that's what you go back to the Renaissance. The Renaissance followed the Black Plague. 60% of Europe was wiped out. The people realized the lives that were living were destructive. So what did they do? A renaissance, a rebirth, a going back, alla Romana e all'antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, what they used to say in Florence to describe the quality of their work. When you look at there's no greater metaphor to me than what's happened to Detroit, from Motown to No Town. You look at that website where they have, you know, decaying Detroit, and you look at the beautiful craftsmanship that used to be part of the culture of this country. And you see it going down into dust. And what do they do now? I got an idea. We're going to do some two really stupid things, but we're going to call them great. We're going to build big box stores. That's right. They're going to look like a large self-storage unit, and we're going to make people go shopping in there so they could save 16th of a cent and think they got a bargain. And then what we're going to do for culture, we're going to take the most violent aspect of society, the criminals that you can't give shoelaces to or belts, that are the most violent people that we have, and we're going to create a whole fashion and music statement out of it. We're going to call it gangster rap, or gangster. And the people are going to dress terribly, they're going to have violent language, and act just like they do, play out in the penal system. And we're going to make that a part of our culture. Is it any surprise why we are where we are? More than anything.
What you seem to be saying is that values are more important, perhaps, than politics.
Politics is BS.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of crap. I don't need somebody with a woman with a bad attitude telling me what it is. How about this? Try this one on for size. You want to be a public servant? You always use that line when they run for office, right? I got some toilets to clean. How about cleaning up the streets? Politics. How could anybody believe in this crap? And that's what's killing society, is that people still look at Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi. Why don't you talk about Laurel and Hardy? How could anybody quote these people or look at them as though they are sensible, sensitive human beings? Hey, you want a little more Botox, baby? All of them. The guys, the women, they got more Botox. They keep the Botox industry alive. How could anybody look up to them? The future is in the beauty. You know, we need the Medicis. We need rich people to put money into arts and creativity. And those, by the way, are the first things they took out of the school system. Look at the way people dress. Look what they look like.
Yeah, we're facing some serious problems, and I think you're right. In a sense, you're talking about taking this country back one street corner at a time.
One person at a time. Yeah. One person at a time. Mm-hmm. When enough people mm-hmm. will change, everything will change. Because when people instill dignity, self-respect, and courage within themselves, they don't take crap from little people like these senators, congressmen, and these commanders-in-chief. George Bush. Who could believe this two-bit freak who took us to war? Who could believe Obama with, we're going to close Guantanamo, I'm going to give transparency? You saw the latest report that came out from people like the New York Times that says how there's no free information flowing anymore. One liar after another. How about Slick Willie Clinton, who sold this nation out with NAFTA, who deregulated the communications industry, who killed Glass-Steagall, and people still salute? It's up to the individual to change. Until that changes, nothing's going to change.
Mr. Sled, I want to thank you very much for your time and for staying over with us. It's been more than an honor. It's been a pleasure. It's been fun. I've been part of the program. I haven't been able to think of anything to say, which is rare for me. And we hope maybe we get you back another time.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Alan Melody. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That's Gerald Celente. He's the publisher of the Trends Journal. His website is trendsjournal.com. You've all heard Mr. Celente before, but you get him going and... that's my idea of good times.
Well,
so, what do you think, Melody?
It isn't good times. I mean, everything he says is true, and his descriptions. People forget. People have very short memories, and you know we talk about what's going on in Washington today, but let's go back and look at all the previous politicians. And you know, and he's absolutely correct.
No, I agree. I agree, but he's not pussyfooting around. And what I enjoy
and
about
what we
it,
need
it out there in a way that is open, brazen, and undeniable. And
but you know what? It's truth, and that's
So the essence of all humor is probably truth. You know, that's the essential thing. It's an unexpected truth, but it's truth is the heart of most humor. And for me, much of what Mr. Salente said just had me laughing and smiling and the rest of that. I don't mean in the sense of being of ridicule. I mean, yeah, I was just sitting back and saying, yeah, you tell him. You tell him, Gerald. I had a good time. I enjoyed talking to Mr. Salente a great deal. I hope we can do it again sometime.
Well, I'll tell you what it took me back to very much. I've heard little sound bites on some of his other interviews, and but listening to him took me back to Robert Chapman. It just reminded me of the two, you know, they've been around, they've done a lot of research, and certainly they have a wonderful way of sharing and educating, and it's how they say it and from the heart. And it makes people listen. It makes people understand. And
he's certainly a great communicator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's certainly a great communicator. It's not just we don't know Mr. Salente's name simply because he's made some remarkable predictions. It's also because he's a great communicator, and it's also because he's a bit of a character, huh? He's done a great job, and I am, you know, I'm pleased. I'm, again, just delighted. I'm sitting here just grinning about the whole thing. I've had a great time. This has made my day, maybe my week. I'm not sure. I may take off a few days now. Melody, just go out there and party down for a while. Hard to say.
Well, it also, and he had some very valid points about changing each individual at a time and going back to the true arts. And it's true. Look how people dress anymore. I mean, I love watching old movies, the old black and whites when they're going to a baseball game and the men are wearing suits and you have women in dresses with hats. I mean, this is for a Saturday afternoon at the ballpark. There was a time when we addressed our elderly with Mr. and Mrs. I refer to a lot of my clients as Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Smith, Mr. Jones.
You don't ever call me Mr. Adams.
No, I don't. But it is a sign of respect, and none of that, it's all gone. And it's not being taught. You know, somewhere along the line, our generation, we didn't follow through. We didn't teach our children the respect. And certainly there was a degree where people were taught that in school.
I think your notion about respect is exactly right. We don't really respect those things that are beautiful. For example, Mr. Salente talked about paintings, right, and other instances of beauty. We don't respect them. We just see them, and we might price them, but we don't respect them in the sense that you look at it and you appreciate, my God, how hard someone had to work, what extraordinary expertise someone had to have in order to produce that painting, or that automobile, or the airplane, or the house that people are living in. We've lost our capacity for respect, or at least a lot of it. And I think that goes to some of Mr. Salente's complaints and some of what you're talking about right now. And especially, he used the example of Detroit going from Motown to No-Town. He's right. He's right in this regard. The African-American community, not just Detroit, but much of the African-American community, they have embraced a system of values that's contrary to their own best interests. They find those values to be entertaining, and maybe they take pride in these values and having an alternative set of values. But it's like people who want to come into this country from a foreign country. They want to move here from a Muslim country because they want what this country has, or at least it had, and they think they can get it here. But they don't understand that you can't get what this country had without first embracing the values that this country had. I don't believe the Muslim faith can produce a viable first world society. I know that it can in a few places if you supplement it with enough income, but I think the fundamental philosophy, that the principles of the Muslim faith are simply contrary to an advanced, prosperous society. I don't think it can be done. I think if you want what you can find in a community, in a nation that was predominantly and still predominantly Christian, if you want that, you got to embrace those Christian values. You can't separate the prosperity from the philosophical values. These are not separate. The one flows from the other, and the values don't flow from the prosperity. The prosperity flows from the values. I'm sure Mr. Salente had that idea down. I'm sure that was essentially what he was trying to communicate, and I agree with him 100%.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
No?
But I enjoyed listening to it, and we're working on to having him back, maybe joining us for the full hour. He certainly has a lot to say. Mm-hmm. And, well, I know a lot of the interviews that I've heard him on, just they don't allow people like him talk. And they have so much to share.
Well, I agree.
They have so much
to
share. I'd rather listen to him than you, Al. No offense, I'm just teasing.
Well, back at you, Melody. What can I tell you?
Yeah,
back
I know. I know.
All right.
But I think we're just about almost out of time.
No, we're not. Why don't you have to get
I
you to break down and buy a clock?
I have a special.
Or at least an hourglass. Let's get an hourglass for Melody, and she can turn over at the beginning of the program, and then when the sand runs out, she'll understand that's the end of the program. Frank, can you get a 57-minute hourglass? Frank's our producer. That'll be his job, to get a 57-minute hourglass.
Let me tell the listeners, we're going to continue that special. We have a limited supply. So if you're interested, you must call us right away. Mint State 61, $20 Liberty gold pieces, $14.95. I even think that's below wholesale or pretty close to wholesale prices. And you will receive a 1 year online. It will only be online subscription to the Trend magazine, Mr. Salante's
Trend Journal.
So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And if you choose to have a renewal for your Robert Chapman International Forecaster, we'll do that too for you on the same coin. But we are limited on the coin, so it will be a first-come, first-served basis. 800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
What are we going to talk about tomorrow, Melody? Because we've got
Wendy Wilson.
40 seconds left today.
We did reschedule Wendy for next week. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about all kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Will it be gold? Are we going to talk about gold and financial things and political things and economic things? Is that what we're going to talk about?
We might.
How about Frank? We could talk about Frank, too. He's our producer.
But if anybody ever has a topic that they want us to talk about, please email us at questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. If you ever have a particular investment that you're interested in, send us the information. We can do the research, and we can let you know on that. And remember, folks, we're here to help you. We're here to answer your questions. You know, it's a learning experience to some degree for all, mostly for...
You know what else we're here for, Melody?
Out of time.
Yeah, we're here to terminate the program when we're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom. We are out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Money.